quorum.
Kathy Aiken present.
Dennis Scott present.
Karen Ward present.
Ken Molnix present.
Stu Martinez present.
Discussion of League of Oregon Cities 2017 legislative agenda.
Yeah, so the League of Oregon Cities is gearing up for the 2017 legislative session. And as the association that represents all 242 plus or minus maybe a couple cities in the state, they've asked that we review some of the objectives that their policy teams put together. And essentially the question is, what's important to us?
Right.
That's one way to look at it, what's important to Lapine. Or the other way you could look at it is what's important to cities across the state.
Right.
So they've asked for four priorities from the council that we want them to lobby the legislature on behalf of and try to get some movement on the policy end of things in Salem. So in your packets, you should have had a list of the 27 items that they presented, sort of with some categories, community development, energy, general government. I won't read all of them, but they broke them into categories, and then they also had some more details if you wanted to dig into those. So I listed a handful, I marked a handful that I thought were relevant to us, but I definitely want to turn it over to the council first and see if anyone felt strongly about certain items or had pieces they wanted included in there.
Well, I looked more at the state for my first one, which is not a popular one. PERS reform, that's killing us. The state as a whole. The big M, as Dennis calls it.
Mental health?
Yeah, mental health. I need that one, too. Yeah, I put marijuana legislation implementation after. I had to really read the descriptions back there to understand how they were looking at it, from what voice they were going to take. The other thing I marked and I'm not sure of is, and we've heard about this for a long time, is the property tax up here. So I don't know what. It's because something Oregon voted on so many years ago, and Don probably knows more about that than I do.
Yeah. Measured back in the 90s, yeah.
So that's where I was. Plus others, it's hard to narrow it down.
Onto that I thought was the mental health investments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the need for housing assistance.
Yeah.
Top one. Let me grab that door real quick.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The water system, that's another one. You know, there are just so many, it's hard to.
Yeah. What do you have, Colin?
Do you want to hear what I marked? If you want, I don't want to interrupt anyone else.
I'll throw out floodplain technical assistance. We have a lot of it right here. And even though some of it may be outside the city, it will affect us. And it affects, you know, insurance and all kinds of good stuff. And then I also have put down the 911 emergency communications. If I remember, a lot of them are reprogramming their radios, and where's all the money going to come from?
Well, we've already got that taken care of here. Recently, 911.
Right, but the statewide system, and especially in light of what's been happening with the law enforcement and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember times on the fire district where you couldn't talk to the sheriff's office, and or the state police, mm-hmm. or the highway department. You know, and if something happens, you know, the state is going to need to be able to communicate. And then I agree with the water supply. PERS I've given up on.
Nobody wants to touch it. That's
well,
a rough
I mean,
one.
It's just
mm-hmm. too many people on it.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, I think the most important thing is needing housing. But just my thought. I had mental health next, and I'd like to see some kind of a take back on the prescription drugs so that they're not dumping them in the garbage or dumping them down the toilet or wherever else they might dump them. So that's my three. It's on the bottom.
Oh, there.
Underwater and wastewater. Why it would be under there, I don't know. It's BB.
Yeah.
For me, I'm looking at what, you know, just a lot of things we can wish for. Mm-hmm. The housing, of course, and it's out there already, and it's going to come to us. I also think about this funding of public energy projects, and where that's at is you know, we've got all this wood, and we've got all this stuff going around here, and we've got you know, great opportunity to, you know, to get involved in all of that slash and stuff that's out there to generate energy. Property tax reform, fairness and equality. The other one is the local lodging tax. And when you read these, you'll see that that's important for this city. We need to be there. And what it's saying is, currently we've got a 30% and a 70%. We give 70% to tourism, and we keep 30%. And the idea is that the cities themselves need more flexibility in how they distribute that, and so it's back to local jurisdiction type stuff. So, and then restore recreational immunity. Right now, there is a problem with Park and Rec or the city, and what we would have to pay for if an accident happened. You know, I mean, think about a flag ceremony out here on the corner and somebody slipped off the curb and because it's broken right now. You know, you look at that, slipped over that or tripped over it and fell out in the street. We're going to get sued. And that would, you know. Then down telecommunications, you got to think about what's going on here because this right-of-way and the franchise fees, there we need stronger rights around and I did this when we I got into this when we were at negotiating the Crestview cable. There are certain things that they don't have to pay for, and a lot of people think they should. So to me, those are two important ones. And especially this right-of-way, impacting currently the way it's written, we need more protection in the way we use our right-of-ways. Then wastewater, of course, and water. I'm for all of those.
Well, we eliminated about two-thirds of them, so we cut it down from 29 to, by a rough count, maybe 10 or so. I think what I'm noticing is correct, which is that all the issues that everyone said is important, you know, every one of these categories, and that's why these are on here. They wouldn't be if they weren't important. So I'll throw out what I had sort of marked, and I mostly picked up on what I've heard talked about a lot in the last year here in my time in Lapine. And so I marked funding for water system resilience and water supply development fund down in water wastewater, just, you know, knowing that that's a hot topic that we're working on in the next few years or beyond that as well. I marked the transportation funding and policy package because we have a major highway that runs right through town. So I think it'd be nice to see a transportation funding and policy package. I did mark restore recreational immunity. I heard about that recently too. It's this interesting Supreme Court case that says that employees are liable for, say, not fixing the curb, and then if someone gets hurt on it, they can be sued.
Yeah, down to the employee level.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
CIS, the city county insurance system that covers a lot of our insurance, that's a hot topic for them that I'm sure they'll be lobbying on pretty hard. And then the last one I put was needed housing assistance program. Again, it's tough because with all these that I just listed, you know, or some of them, we have projects in motion as well. So you could go a lot of different ways on this. And then, you know, going back to PERS reform, we don't have PERS with the city, so it doesn't directly affect us. But at the same time, if you're looking at the entire state as a whole, you know, there's billions of dollars in unfunded liabilities that is a major issue for cities and counties and the state as a whole. So,
I would just say that everybody in the state that's under PERS is on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Every municipality, so.
Well, LLC, I remember last time we were in Salem, they brought it up and let's talk about PERS, and it fell silent. Nothing. Nobody was going to bring it up. Nobody's going to risk it. So what can you do? You know, that's the sad thing.
Yeah. And putting this exercise into perspective, I think it's good to give us a, you know, snapshot of the breadth of issues that cities are dealing with. But, you know, there's no guarantees that the boxes we check are going to see action. So I lean towards picking things that I think are closely related to issues that we need to work on, and just hope that maybe there's some movement in the future.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
So, quick question, Corey. Mm-hmm. As far as the city insurance, say something does fall on that sidewalk, and it was negligence on the city's part, what is our insurance level cover that?
Our general liability.
Okay.
Yeah. Our general liability would cover that. And the way I understand that Supreme Court case is that the city is not liable, but the employees for lack of doing the work are liable, which is kind of bizarre the way you read that.
Well, so yeah, because the employees should be covered by the city insurance.
Yeah. And that's where it gets tricky. I think they would be covered by the city's insurance, but normally a suit wouldn't be able to be brought against the city, but they could bring it against the employee, and then therefore it would still loop the city in because they're covered under their insurance. And I don't know too much about this, but I talked to the CIS representative a couple weeks ago, and he just mentioned it offhand, and so he said that this is one they're really going to be looking into.
Yeah. At COCO on Monday, everybody but one picked that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
We went down through this whole list, and everybody but one person had selected that. Mm-hmm. And
it's bizarre too, because it deals with space that is free to use, so just park space, and you're thinking, well, yeah, you would be covered on that, and yet actually no, you're potentially not. And so I think that one's important. I think it'll continue to be more important for Lapine in the future. So I would say that one. You know, I feel strongly about the transportation funding package, and then my default, just again coming back to our you know, bread and butter of what we provide as a city is water and wastewater, and we're going to continue to need funds for those. So I know a lot of other cities or small cities are in that position too, aging infrastructure, and issues like that, so.
So that's the four.
Well, I don't want to just say, you know, unless there's objections to going with restore recreational immunity, transportation funding, and then the funding of water system resilience and water supply development fund. The water supply development fund one, in my mind, was looking at, okay, we have all these water rights. Now we need to go out and get 400 mitigation credits that right now are going to cost us $12,000?
$6 million.
$15,000?
Yeah, I mean, $6 million.
It's an outrageous number. Yeah. So the infrastructure, the pipes, the lagoons, the wells, that's one thing. Just acquiring the mitigation credits to be able to access your rights is a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
And that will be an issue for Lapine a long ways down the road, mm-hmm. unless we can get a solution. So yeah. That's how I interpret that one, is hoping to move towards okay. that. So.
Even though we think we're getting a housing project, we still need that. We still have to push on that stuff. So
that's true.
Keep that one in there.
That's a good point.
That way it backs the importance, I think, of it. I think if we didn't check them and other small cities didn't check them, then they'd feel there's not that the issue that there truly is.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I don't think housing assistance is ever going to go away for a while.
Yeah. Not the way.
Yeah. Well,
things are getting built up over here, too.
Yeah. We happen to live in the state that has the highest in-migration rate in the country,
right.
and we happen to live in a region of that state that has the highest in-migration rate. So, yeah, it's, you know, and then when you have the economy go like that and the zoning and land use laws that Oregon has, it does it. It pinches things, so.
So the focus of that really, and it says it in the first line, create grant, state grants and technical assistance to cities working to develop housing development programs directed at new or innovative means of providing housing solutions for low-income and seniors. I think this is different from, you know, putting more money into the housing world. Mm-hmm. This is putting together a program that cities can apply for mm-hmm. to help themselves arrive at some solution, just like we do so many other programs, TGMs and all of that. There's technical assistance out there to help you figure out how you do it. So,
when I read that one, I thought it was sounded a little more geared towards larger cities like Portland's or Eugene's or Salem's that have the staff capacity to focus on certain projects, but at the same time that all trickles down and helps all the cities. So am I hearing that we want to go with the housing one instead of one of the other four?
Yes.
Is that a yes? Which one are we trading off?
Mm-hmm. I think housing, like Jake said, to me personally, I got to say no, because I think it's gonna be there. There's plenty of housing energy going on right now with both legislature and the state government. They're wrestling with it. The new LIFT program that they've got going is, so I'm a no there. And it's only really about, we've only got four choices.
Yeah. The way I'm reading the background on the needed housing assistance program, I don't know if I see it impacting us as much as other cities. You know, I think we're in a very good position because Deschutes County owns a lot of land in the city, and they're supportive of this idea and this need that is affordable housing in South Counties in Lapine. So I'm thinking that one. I don't know if it applies as much to Lapine. Is kind of my two cents on that one. Is what it would be. So.
Well, and this is only for this session.
Exactly. It's for 2017.
So this is only going to last for 6 months.
Correct.
So
yeah.
It'll be around on the next one.
It will.
Just like PERS.
That's true.
It'll never go away.
Yep. So.
Okay. I think I'm getting more head nods for the Restore Recreational Immunity.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation funding and policy package.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
funding water system resilience, mm-hmm. and water supply development fund.
Bingo.
And we could pick 10 others that we want
yeah.
to, but
yeah.
we'll go with those four.
Yeah.
Good for me.
Okay. Awesome.
You're so smart.
Which one is this?
We're one voice among many.
How serious they really
You know, it'll add up into, you know, they'll add them all up and and this one's got the most and this one's got the most. They don't have the capacity to go after all of them. They can only go after financially and staff-wise so many. So those are good ones.
We'll get those to LOC tomorrow.
Now we're going to add an item to the agenda. Item number four is a water and wastewater project, and staff will explain that.
Yeah, I want to invite Brad and Brandon
yeah.
up to the table. They're with Anderson Perry. The city has a long relationship with Anderson Perry. You know, they did our master plans, water and wastewater master plans, which are 20-year planning documents. We got those back in January. They've been working on the Wickiup Lift Station project, and then we also are contracting with them to do the environmental reports, which are an important piece of the funding applications to the federal funders, USDA, state funders, DEQ, and IFA, all the different places that we hope to get lots of grant money from to help with our expansion project into Cable and Glenwood, but also a big part of that project is redundancy in the system with wells and wastewater. So there's two big pieces to that. So they were nice enough to come down, and they're going to give you a little update of kind of where we're at and where we're headed. And you know, I think the last thing I'll say is we had a one stop, which is this funding meeting, and they can elaborate on that a little bit a month ago. So this is fresh, and it's starting to move forward, and that's why they're here.
Great. Thank you, Corey. So yeah, we've got a handout for you here. Brett will pass those around. Like Corey said, just to kind of walk you through the steps a little bit. We did the water and wastewater system study updates, and so you evaluate the system and find, you know, necessary improvements and deficiencies. In particular, for you guys looking into adding Cable and Glenwood acres and what that would take. In those studies, we come up with a cost estimate, a proposed project, and then, as Corey mentioned, you go to this one-stop meeting. And the one stop is just a gathering of all the funding agencies in the state. You know, for wastewater, there's DEQ. For water, there's IFA. There's USDA. There's all these agencies. And so rather than going out to each one individually and trying to say, hey, what kind of deal can we get with you? Everybody comes and sits around the table and just throw big piles of money in the middle of the table and just try to get as much as you can.
Kind of like that.
It's kind of like that. Close.
It's not like you remember it,
not quite like that. But they, they'll talk about their programs, what kind of funding they have available, you know, it changes from year to year as to what kind of funding their programs have, what the rates are, and that can be a big deal. So, like Corey said, we were there June 14th and had a one-stop meeting, talked about several different scenarios, and what we wanted to do here, at the one-stop meeting there was some data that was there that didn't really give a perfect picture as to what potential rates might be in the city. Mm-hmm. And so we've taken some of the information from the one-stop, some of the potential funding scenarios, and cleaned up some of the data for the city as far as how many EDUs you have, how many connections you have, how many billing units you have, and updated those spreadsheets, and we want to take a look at your potential rates and what that might do, and what kind of ballpark you might be looking at. Just to caveat this is a rosy glasses, the stars line up, and you get lots and lots of grand dollars. This is definitely a possible situation we have here. It's not that this can't happen, and it could happen. It's just this is the optimistic side. So just keep that in mind as we walk through this, okay? And I'll bumble through this, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to stop me anytime and let me know. So your existing system information, you see this table here. Current customers, it's broke out in residential and commercial. You have 607 total connections. And then on the far right column is number of base rates. So the way your guys' billing is set up is, for depending on the meter size, people pay more than one base rate. So you have a base rate set, but if you have a larger meter, it's multiplied by a factor, so you end up paying more of those base rates.
If you're a single family home, you know, using an average amount of water and sewer, you pay X. Mm-hmm. If you're
the elementary school getting a lot more use with a larger meter, like Brandon said, you pay more, or yeah. commercial. So exactly. that's why it's important not to just look at connections.
Right.
It's important to look. And so that's yeah. one thing that, that Anderson Perry did to clean up from the one stop. So
yeah. Yeah. Say like I had, Ashley, what I have?
New 1-inch meter.
In a residential.
So if you look at the second page there, Stu, the 1-inch meter, for this is your 16-17 water rate structure. So for a 1-inch meter, you're going to pay 2.5 base rates.
Okay. Yep. I since have switched that.
You got that cleaned up quick.
You got 3/4, now 5/8?
Yeah.
Nice.
Ooh.
And so back on page one, just to breeze through this real quick, your number of connections, we assume when you add cable and Glenwood Acres, we assume there's about 275 connections in there currently, just as an estimate. And so that'll bring your number of base rates up to 1,336. So in the one stop, they were using 882 because that was your number of connections, and they really didn't know necessarily your how you built.
Right.
And so that was a bit of a nuance there. Your current average usage here, again, this is data that we got for putting the studies together. And so if you look at the far right column per connection, an average residential connection in Lapine uses about 5,775 gallons a month. And so that'll play into your billing rate because you guys bill for, you have a consumption charge. And we'll get to that.
If I could add real quick, yeah. that's actually low.
Right. 5's not that much.
Right.
Yeah, that's low. And in all the years I've been doing this for figuring out average residential use for rural development funding apps, I've seen a little lower than that in towns that had irrigation systems separate from the water.
Mm-hmm.
Most towns, trying to think of the highest one I've seen, Arlington, because their arid was in the 16,000 gallons a month per residence range. Most people are in the 8 to 10. And there's plenty in the 6s and 7s, but you're low. So your city does a good job of not using too much water. If you thought the number was high, it's actually pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just give you an idea about the Glenwood Acres. We have a 4,000 gallon limit before you start paying for quantity. And they're all, there's about five people in that 27 users that that go over every month. And one of them goes way over.
Very green yard?
No.
Do you guys
very
still have
green inside their house.
Oh. Yes. Do you guys still have private wells too?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
That you can run irrigation off?
Oh yeah.
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 That's
but I just, you know, this is more like our commercial user.
Yeah.
We give 5,000 to the commercial user, but
that's a good number. I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever get hit with conservation plans, things to do for your water rights, you're going to look good on compared to everybody else. That's a low number.
Yeah. And then the next line down below the current average winter use, this comes into play when you calculate your wastewater rates. And so, again, mm-hmm. per customer during the winter, on average, you're using about 4,136.
Do we charge them based upon their 6 month average or whatever that winter
four
five
I think four, it's 4 months
four
winter
months
average.
In the winter time
correct
okay
yep.
Do we charge them okay we got one house they use X amount during those 4 months and that's figured out to be their average is that their average but not everybody else's?
Their average.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
So then, moving on to page two, this is just a breakdown of your current water structure. Again, we've touched on this. Based on meter size, you've got the MCE factor, meter capacity equivalent factor there. Multiplied base rates, doesn't matter if you're residential or commercial, you're going to pay the same fixed fee each month, depending on your meter size. And then the volume charge is an interesting thing with Lapine. Some other cities do this as well that we work with, but you guys pay for gallon number one. So when you turn the faucet on the first of the month, you're paying for that gallon. And so there's a consumption charge from the very get-go. So that'll play into your rates. Because for a lot of people, they'll have, like you mentioned, Ken, there's a base allotment of water. So you
right.
pay your base rate, you get 7,000 gallons.
And we have that.
Right, so if you don't go over that, you don't pay a consumption fee. And so there's that risk that if you base your rates planning to get that consumption fee, you might not get it. But for you guys, you're guaranteed something. I mean, because people have to use some water.
Right.
And so you'll get something. So
And that increasing block rate is what they call how you've done that, and that funding agencies absolutely love that.
Yeah. The tiered approach.
Yes, right. And the more you use, the more you pay, so that's good to see that structure. You get gold stars for that when you go after money.
Yeah. It's a conservation plan that eventually kind of forces you to if you're not there, so that's good. So on page 3, just to give you an idea of what kind of money we have now flying around, the existing residential water user, like we talked about, uses 5,775 gallons. So if today, with your existing rate structure, the average resident uses that much water, they pay a base rate of $29.77, and they pay a consumption fee of $8.49, or an average fee of $38.26 that they pay. So there are going to be folks in town that pay more than that, you know, that have really nice green yards or green in their house or whatever the case may be. And then there's going to be people that pay less than that, you know, people don't use that much water. So that's where you're at currently. Now, let's talk a little bit about what we're proposing to try to find funding for here. I know you guys have seen the plans. We've talked about this several times, but Brad will hand out the figure again from the plans that show the overall improvements. The improvements include, like we talked about, not just the distribution system out into Cable and Glenwood Acres, but a new reservoir, transmission line, and well that really is a benefit and needed for the entire city and the entire city system. So it's important to note that this isn't just a Cable Glenwood project. This is, there's definitely components of this that the entire city system needs. And for everything on this shiny piece of paper Brett's handing out, you can get it for the one-time price of $10.5 million. So and that cost includes everything. That is design, that's the upfront work, that's the easements, the permitting, construction, the whole kit caboodle. So that $10.5 million is what we went to the one-stop asking for and trying to find. So
that includes a 10% contingency as well, right, for funding agencies required to have that in there, which is in case bids are high or things of that nature.
Exactly.
And you guys inflated those construction costs for a few years out too, is that correct?
Yep, that $10.5 million already is a 2018 cost.
That include, yeah.
Yep. I think we figured 5 years, or 5% for 3 years.
Yeah, good.
So, next item here, this spreadsheet is a potential water system funding package. So these are the numbers that when you sit down at the table at the one stop and say, okay, what can you do USDA, what can you do IFA, what kind of packages do you have to offer? This is what they come up with. And so I won't go through each one of these, but you can look at them. The first line is USDA, their program. They're willing to give you, you know, $2.5 million grant, about $3.5 million loan. And so each package gives you this offer as far as what they can give you in grant amounts and what they can give you in loan amounts. It's all dependent upon what their funding package is that year, what kind of money they have in the coffers. And then they have, each one has different loan repayment terms and different interest rates. And so you take the amount that they gave you for a loan, figure out what your annual debt payment will be for that package. So all of these people are going to give you money and you're going to have to pay them all back these loan packages. And you get an annual debt service of $189,749 down there in the bottom right. And so what that says, if you're going to go out and do this $10.5 million project, at the end of it, you're going to have each year almost $190,000 of a debt payment to make to do that. Okay. And so that seems like a big scary number. What you need to do, what the goal is, and what, you know, part of this update is about, is you'll eventually need to get your rates to a point where you can cover the operation and maintenance of the system. You need to be able to run it, you know, pay your staff, and, you know, buy new valves, and do whatever you need to do there, and then pay your debt service. So those are kind of your expenditures that you need to be able to make enough revenue to cover. So the next spreadsheet down here is a bit of an analysis looking at that. Your expenditures, those first four columns there. We've estimated your OM&R costs about $360,000. That's a rough figure. Your budgets are pretty close to that. We use that in the plan. I think they were below that. We inflated it a few percent per year, so that should be in the ballpark. Your existing debt service, you currently pay about $193,000 on an existing loan that you have coming out of the water fund. And then the proposed debt service is the $189,749 that you see from the proposed project. So you get a total OM&R, your operations, maintenance, and replacement, plus your debt service of about $743,000. So in order to make your expenditures and your revenues match up, you've got these two highlighted boxes in yellow that are the same number. We took this base rate and we adjusted it in order to make enough revenue to match your expenditures. And so a point to be made here, Brad mentioned this earlier, that this base rate gets you exactly even. You exactly break even. with this estimate and these grants and this perfect package. So again, that's probably likely not what your base rate would be. I wouldn't recommend you go out and set a resolution tonight making your base rate $35.81, because things are going to change and things could be a little different. You're probably going to want to be a little higher than that. But this is just a first cut, rough look at it. So again, that's your required base rate to make that balance with this specific funding package. Any questions on that before I go on? Anybody good?
So you can go on into revenue.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to mention back on the funding table that Brandon prepared showing the grants and loans. It's important to note that that's about half loan and half grant. If you look at add that up, it's 2.5, 3.5, 4.5.
Yeah, it's almost $5.5 million in grants. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is significant. You know, a lot of times it's difficult to get that much of a project in grant funds.
Right.
And then the other thing worth mentioning is while each of these programs say they can do that, they can, but you're in a competitive environment with every other city out there trying to do the same thing.
Right.
And so that's why when we were talking to, you know, Rick and Corey about getting this work done, you know, times of the essence on this funding work, because the sooner your application's in, the sooner you jump through the hoops. All you got to do is beat the next city.
Right. One thing I've noticed right now, interest rates are kind of at a historic low as well. You look at those interest rates, there's 1%, 1%, 1%. They don't really get much better than that.
It's almost free money.
You're exactly right. I've been doing this for 20 years for cities, and I've never seen it this low.
That's one of the things that excited me at the One Stop was those interest rates.
Yep.
And, of course, the grant money that's possible.
Right.
That we're going to get.
Well, we're being optimistic.
Right.
Get these apps in. But yeah. Just as a caution, you're in the hunt with everybody else.
Sure.
But not everybody else is expedient or has their ducks in a row.
Yeah.
And so time is definitely of the essence, and we're on track to get these in, try to be early in the queue.
What Brandon's about to do is to then connect all these big million-dollar numbers with, okay, what does that mean for Ken's water bill and Kathy's sewer bill and everyone else in the city, and how much is that going to go up? Because that's, you know, the public, you know, $5.5 million in grants, that's great. They don't know what that means. Well, how's it impact me?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what
yeah.
the council needs, I think, tonight, really, is we're taking the temperature on,
mm-hmm.
okay, we're putting in these applications, we're being optimistic, but we feel good about it. This is what the monthly base rate is going to be.
Right.
So that's where we're getting, where Brandon's headed on this one.
So the top of page 4, we'll wrap up water here. This is the potential residential water user average monthly rate. So if you do the project, bring in Cagle and Glenwood, you take on a $10.5 million loan, or not all loans, but a $10.5 million project with this funding package. If you're a resident inside of the Pine and you use the average amount of water, the base rate would go up to $35.81 like we just talked about. Your consumption would stay the same, $8.49, so your total average bill would be $44.30 and $10. Okay. So that would be an increase of $6.04 in your monthly water bill for the average user in the city of Lapine for water, if this funding package happens on the starter lineup.
So someone who lives in Huntington Meadows or Crescent Creek or any of the other neighborhoods that are on the system today, their bill would go from, it would go up $6.
Yeah.
Anyone in Cagle and Glenwood would go from zero to $44.30.
Exactly.
On the average.
But on the average. For what's water?
Yeah.
See,
not every bill is going to go up six. Some will be less.
It all depends. Yeah.
And for Glenwood, we already pay $49.
Yeah, I was going to say ours is actually would go down.
Yeah, well, ours will go down for yeah. water.
Okay.
Right. I think it's the water master in there.
Oh. I think it's important to note too, as Brandon mentioned this earlier, but this is just to break even if you
mm-hmm.
get all the grants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're going to talk to people, we're shooting to be in the mid-40s, but try to get below 50 would be a good way of saying it. Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You might end up at 46 or 7 to make sure you're not.
Because the base rate's making you break even, but that consumption's, it's hard to rely on what consumption's
exactly.
always going to be.
Exactly.
And we're talking broad brush strokes today in terms
yeah.
of, you know, we're not talking $80, we're talking, you know, under 50, and that's
yeah.
that's the talking point, and that's what we need
yeah.
the council needs to consider
mm-hmm.
And think about. Okay, we're moving forward, we get the grants, we're primed to make this happen at this price.
Right.
So.
And for the math calculation, yeah, I mean, it shows that you need an increase of exactly $6.04 to make this thing shake out. But we show pennies on here, but really, you know, that's just a rough estimate. Yeah. I mean, it's maybe it's $8 even or something. But at least we know we're in the hunt anyway. So
looking like it's going to be below 50, which is right. A big deal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tough water. Any questions on that before we move on to wastewater? Okay. So again, this is a copy of your wastewater rate structure, your most current 16-17 rates. Same sort of system. You have a meter size, MCE factor, the same as water. So they're paying $1 per MCE, number of base rates. And the wastewater system also has a flat rate, dollars per meter fee that you guys charge. So there's actually three different charges. You have your dollar per meter flat rate, your dollar per MCE flat rate for a total monthly fixed charge, and then just like water, you have a consumptive volume charge as well. Okay, I like to talk about the volume charges based on winter water use for residences and then on all water use for commercial purposes. And that's something I'll mention too while I'm thinking about it. This analysis looks at residents and what the residential rate would be, just because, you know, a residence is likely going to have, you know, either a smaller meter that's going to pay one base rate, where a commercial business, you know, maybe one of them has a 1-inch meter, and then the guy down the road has a 4-inch meter. And if you look at your rate structures, he's paying 25 times the base rate. So if you tell the guy in the middle, if you do the average, the guy on the upside's excited about it. The guy on the downside, you're not even close. So that spread is so large, the commercial rates are kind of hard to say. Without looking at each individual account, it's kind of hard to say what that average would represent, if that makes sense. So this just takes into account, we've just looked at what the impact of residential will be. Because the commercial, you really need to look at a case-by-case basis. So, in case anybody corners, yeah. So, for wastewater, the existing residential wastewater user, their average rate, like we saw, for the average winter's use is about a little over 4,000 gallons. If they use that amount of water, their base rate meter charge right now is $20.93, and their consumption is $13.65. So the average person is applying to pay $34.58. Okay. So again, to review quickly the wastewater system improvements, perhaps got another figure. This again is an improvement project to extend collection system piping out any cable limit acres to get them on the system. But it also, you know, abandons the current disposal system that has had DEQ concerns for a long time. It adds storage to the system, moving the disposal system out to the city's property out east of town there. So really it is it's a citywide upgrade. There are benefits to the entire system, not just the cable building, so it's important to know. This project's a little bit pricier. Estimated project cost roughly $14.3 million. Again, that's everything, like Brad mentioned, the 3% contingency, all the design, the permitting, legal, admin, permits, everything to get the project completed. So again, same meeting, you walk in and ask for $14.3 million, and these are the funding packages that came up. Again, this is the ideal scenario that maximizes grant funds and low-interest loans. You can see the annual debt service for this one's quite a bit larger due to the higher cost. So you're looking at about $322,000 for the debt service just for wastewater. Okay. So again, if we walk through the spreadsheet looking at the expenditures and revenue and making those numbers balance, again, your O&M costs are about $360,000 that we estimated. The nice thing about this is you don't currently have any existing debt service in your wastewater fund, so you're not currently paying on any loans. So that number is zero. The proposed debt service would be $322,000 from the project for a total O&R debt service of $682,000. Now, in order to get those numbers to balance, as far as the rates go, like I said, you've got three streams of revenue, really. Your base meter charge and then your base rate for your MCE factors. So for the purpose of this, you know, brief analysis, we didn't mess with your meter charge. You could play with that rather than your base rates having to go up and be multiplied potentially for people with larger meters. You could fiddle with the base rate the meter charge number. I'm sorry. So there's a couple different things you could manipulate there in increasing your rates to increase your revenue. And so if you take that base rate of 1351, take it on to page 6 here. the potential residential wastewater user average rate, complete the project, and they use the average use in town for about 4,000 gallons. Your base rate plus meter charge would go to $24.81, and your consumption would stay the same, $13.65, for a total of $38.46, which would be a total increase of $388 in your monthly sewer bill for folks that are currently in town on the system using average wastewater, or using average water anywhere. So, again, that's real rosy, that's optimistic, that's the stars line up and everything goes great, and you find a bunch of grant money and low interest loans, and everything goes swimmingly, which we're planning on, but to be optimistic.
Do we have the numbers for commercial? I mean, we're talking about residential.
Right.
What about commercial?
So like I mentioned, we could go through on a meter by meter basis and get you what the impact to the commercial user would be. The impact to the base rate is going to be the same. It's just a matter of how much you multiply it by. So if the commercial user has a 1-inch meter, that base rate is only going to get multiplied by 2.5. So they're going to get lumped 2.5 times. But if they have a 4-inch meter, they're going to get lumped 25 times. So depending on the size of the meter sitting out front of the business, it's a huge range of what it's going to do their rate.
Okay, but are we going to do that?
Oh, yeah. And again,
I mean, because, you know, we're going to hear from the commercial side of this, too, so.
Yep.
And the analysis assumes you are.
Yeah. So they're definitely going to be increased, and their base rate will go up the same. The base rate will go up the same for everybody. It's a matter of what meter that individual business has that will determine how bad it hurts. And their water usage. I mean, if they're a business that uses, you know, average water, it won't be as bad. If there's somebody that uses a whole gallon of water, it'll be.
When you keep saying residential, are you, and I might be wrong here, but are you basically referring to one MCE, mm-hmm. one meter equivalent, mm-hmm. and therefore if you have a larger meter, you got to do the multiplication factors.
Right.
But that's all included in the analysis.
Yeah. So if you're somebody like Stu was, if you're a residence, but you have a 1-inch meter, doesn't matter, you're still going to pay 2.5 base rates, whether you're a residence or not.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, residential and commercial, the only place that is differentiated is in your volume charges, in your consumptive rates.
What's the residential? Is it two adults, two kids, or a number of people in a household?
It's the size of the meter.
Just right. It's the size of the meter. What classifies you as residential or commercial is probably a zoning, more of a zoning thing than a size of the meter.
Yeah, I don't know how we even.
Not size of the meter. It's just basically what's done on the lot.
So what makes a residential is if it's a single family or a duplex.
Right.
Anything bigger than a duplex, like apartment complex, then you move to commercial.
Or if you wound up with a bigger meter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They decided to put a bigger meter in.
What's that?
Or they put a bigger meter in to begin with.
Because they ran out of 5/8.
Yeah.
Story I heard.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of stuff that happened years ago that, you know, these rate changes kind of brought people who had been maybe getting a real good deal.
Right.
Or here, some that were really screwed.
That too. It brought it more equity. That was the main point of that whole rate change.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the case. With this, and I hope it doesn't feel like we're rushing through this because we're not. Staff's working a lot on this. The main update and check-in that I wanted with council, because we'll work through all the details. There's a lot of work to be done on that, is with this ballpark rate number. And I'll let Brandon finish because he was just jumping into the summary section. That's really what we're trying to gauge tonight, how the council feels about that.
Yeah. Yep. So, to wrap through this summary here, the current residential average utility rates that we talked about earlier, for water is $38.26, wastewater is $34.58, for a total of $72.84. So the average user in La Pine, residents using the average amount of water, is going to pay about $72.84 per month, current rates, today. The potential future residential average utility rate, if you complete the project, have to pay that debt service, would be for water $44.30, $38.46, like we talked about, for a total of $82.76. So if this happened today, with your current rates, and you decided that you had to start paying on the debt service today, you have to increase your total average utility rates by $9.92.
And that again is to just break even.
That's to break even, yep. And that's the people in the city limits that are currently paying. So like Corey mentioned, the people in Cable and Glenwood Acres, they're gonna get an increase of $82.76.
Okay.
So instead of it being 10, you'd want to be 11 or 12 or something.
Right, make sure you had a little
and bit. And that applies to commercial too.
Yep, that's the base rate. So that applies to whoever And it just depends on the MCE factors and how many times it gets.
They'll see an increase and then multiply by a factor of whatever their meter equivalent is.
Right. Yep, exactly. Yep. So now as far as timeline, so you don't have to run out tomorrow and jack up your rates $10 to do this. When those rates have to be in place, the first debt service payment is due 1 year after completion of the project. So it's July of 16. We're still working on funding. Funding will probably go through 17, then design, and then construction. So you're 18 or 19 before you have this thing up and running. And so your first debt service payment wouldn't be until a year after that. So whatever your projected rates need to be would need to be in place, you know, for project completion, to where you have a year to make that revenue in order to pay that debt service 1 year later. Okay? So I looked on your guys' website, got your updated water sewer rates. What is nice that you guys have, you've already projected your rate increases for 3 years. So you have already, you know, put into resolution what your rates will be in 2018. So we took a look at that, and again, I pasted those on page 7 here, water and wastewater. You increased, I think it was 10%, Corey, is that right, across the board?
It's 10% for sewer and 3% for water for the next 3 years, annually.
Yep, so you increased both the base rate, you know, currently it's, I think, 2890, something like that, and now it's 3158. Now, this will be 2018, so this is your 2018 water rates. It'll go up to 3158, and then you'll notice down here all your overage charges also went up by a percentage. And then same with wastewater, your dollars per meter went up, your dollars per MCE went up, and again, your volume charges went up, of course. So you've already increased those into 2018, which is good. That's a good thing to do. So if we look at that, your 2018-2019 residential average utility rates, regardless of whether you do the project or not, on page 8 here, for water are going to be $40.58, and for wastewater will be $41.83 for a total of $82.41. So what that says is you're going to have your rates in the $82-$83 range in 2018 anyway, whether you go do this project or not. So that's, I guess I'd say, a bit of good news is that, you know, you've already planned on these rate increases. It's not going to be a big shock. You know, you've already made the investment. You've already made the decision, has the forward thinking to increase rates over time. So that's, you're a step ahead. Most people wait until the bill shows up and run out the jack-up prices. So
what's going to throw a curve in this? Say in Cable Road, they use their wells for their landscaping and everything like that. So that's going to sort of throw these figures.
Yeah. So their average consumption will be less, so the revenue you get from their consumption will be less.
Right.
But it's for a residence, it's a pretty small number. It shouldn't be. And your average use is pretty low anyway, like Brad was saying.
40.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a huge impact, but you're absolutely right. And that's another good reason to mention that this is, you know, this is us taking a rough look at it. This is the number that would break even. So that's where it would be wise, where we're saying, yeah, total, your bill needs to be $82. But in reality, especially when you're out talking to folks, it would probably be wise to say, look, we're shooting for somewhere between 80 and 100 type of range.
But really, there shouldn't be a difference because, you know, we're going to hook a house up in Cagle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to use the average normal amount of water. The irrigation, I mean the well, they're not going to be connected in any way to that well.
Mm-hmm.
And the irrigation is going to be out there. They're going to get their irrigation, but...
Right. But that they irrigate with their well and water that they would have pulled from the city system, that's revenue that you wouldn't get.
We have a lot of houses already out there like that. Private wells still irrigating.
Right.
And the fact that...
That's on our system right now.
They're still going to use the water inside the house.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're going to use the average, what everybody else uses.
Right.
I think that once the citizens that are irrigating their lawn and they're all seeing these big water bills,
mm-hmm.
they have come to grips with the fact that I can't use much water out there off the city system.
Yeah.
Well, but the problem is their lawns and their landscaping is already in place.
Right.
So they're not going to, you know, tear out their irrigation system just to switch it over to the city and lower everything down.
No, I agree with that, but I think they're more conservative than what they used to be.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
But they'll still use it. I mean,
oh, yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times when you do these projects, there's an initial shock factor. So for a year or two, you'll suffer a little bit on the revenue, and then everybody's tired of their, you know, lawn looking dead, and they start doing it anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. So after 3 or 4 years, you usually rebound from it.
Right. The take-home message from this, and it's what we didn't have back in February when we were at Roslyn Elementary School, and there were 70-plus folks there who are interested in this project, and rightly so, is that we think that with the funding applications that Anderson Perry is preparing on behalf of the City of Lapine, that we can get the average monthly residential water and sewer bill combined under $100. Is it 85? Is it 90? Is it 95? We don't know yet. But our hope is, moving forward with these applications, that we can secure enough grants to get these under 100. So that's where I'd like to hear from the council is, you know, how do you feel about that? Is that good? Are you comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable. I mean, we're going to get $24 million out of this whole project, and I think that below $100 is owed. And that's with the increases in place. I think it's a great,
yeah. I mean, that's going to be a shock, but when you start adding your plus and minuses, that's pretty bargain. You go put one pump in,
yeah,
that's eight up.
Shock to the folks in Cape and Glenwood.
Yeah. One septic system, 40 years of that rate.
So that's, you know, that's going to be the key of pushing it along.
And I want to hear from everyone on the council, and I don't want to interrupt other people speaking, but I will say that we're going to continue to do public outreach. We'll have another open house or many open houses. This is just, like they had said earlier, we want to get in for these funding applications, for these grants, but we want to make sure that the council, that we're on board with this as well. So there will be more public outreach talking about the price for sure.
Okay.
It's less than what I thought it was going to be.
Sounds like a yes to me.
Except I'm worried about nonprofit, and that comes from where I sit right now. Yeah. So,
Kathy?
Yeah, I think we have to do this. We know that, so that's not an issue. But I know I don't live on PERS system. I'd love to. But all of this will hurt somebody in some way, you know. But if we can keep it 85, 90. I mean, with the water, with your heat, you can keep turning it down. You know, you can do something. You can with this a little bit, to a certain extent.
Take showers every other day.
Yes. Yeah.
Sunday bath time.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Whether you need it or not, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm already hearing a lot of complaints. I don't know about anybody else. About the water increase and that kind of thing that we're going through, the fact that somebody here is pocketing the money, and it's nonsense. It's all nonsense, you know. So no matter what we do, we're going to get complaints. Yeah. But we've got to do it, and I personally hoping we can keep it around 90. You know,
that's
But basically, you think we're going to move forward, and
absolutely.
This is the right thing to do. So,
yeah.
Okay.
I got a solution to your PERS problem. We could name the new water tower PERS, and everybody could be on PERS water.
There you go.
And this is just to apply for the funds. We'll get the actual numbers back, and then we'll really be at a decision point. So this is, remember that.
Yeah.
Stu?
Oh, God. Yeah, we'll be hearing the complaints. There's no doubt about it. The staff can probably attest to that when we went through the last one. Yeah. But, you know, personally, dealing with rates for 15, close to 19 years now, in two different counties, it's always a challenge. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the ones out there that are going to complain, and ones that are going to say, oh, that's still nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think for the health of the community, which is the most important thing that we're sitting here, that's a part of our job as counselors, is the health and safety of the community. This is probably the most important thing we could be doing right now. So forward, engage.
right?
Okay.
And quick timeline, the applications will be going in over the next few months.
Yeah, 2 to 3 months, try to get all of them.
And we'll hear back probably winter, spring-ish, we'll have a better idea.
Yeah, all of them are a little different. USDA, based on the federal budget, which sometimes takes a while for all the folks to approve.
Yeah.
Well, that one could be into the spring, but by next spring, we should have a good handle on all of it.
And Anderson Perry and city staff's gonna continue working and leaning on funders, trying to do what we can within our legal bounds to get as much grants as possible. So just know that we're working hard on this, and we'll give you updates as we know more and move through the next, you know, let's say 6 to 9 months.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
Awesome.
What I would like to do is go ahead and open this up to our council session down to